101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. Yesterday we were talking about LSU. Hey, could they possibly, last year Louisiana Tech unexpectedly got to the Independence Bowl.
When Marshall bailed, yeah.
Marshall bailed. And so we got looking at scenarios. LSU now 6-win team. They're bowl eligible. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, no. They're going to have to fill one of those SEC slots. I mean, they'll be needed for that.
What Missy said. Missy Setters is on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Missy, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing very well. You told us yesterday the SEC has agreements with 10 different bowl games, and because of playoffs and schedules, they might not even be able to fill their obligations.
Yeah, that's right. They've got 9 bowl partners plus the playoffs, and right now it looks like the SEC could get 5 teams into the playoffs. So you do the math there, that could leave.
Wow.
2 or 3 of their bowls empty. So that could put LSU, and this is all speculation at this point because there's a lot that goes into the choices, but you could see LSU in Charlotte, Memphis, Nashville, Tampa, Houston, Birmingham, and the Gasparilla Bowl, which is in Tampa. Those are the 2, I think, bottom picks for the SEC. So I would see LSU going above those 2.
Okay. Really? Okay. Well, that's good news.
Your bowl, our independent Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, has a deal with the Big 12 and Conference USA, correct?
Yes.
What teams are you looking at? I know you go scout them. What are you looking at right now?
Yeah, well, so far we have been out to see Kansas, Kansas State, TCU, Baylor, Iowa State, and Central Florida this year. And on the Big 12 side, on the Conference USA side, Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State, Kennesaw State, I think we saw, and then and Louisiana Tech. And so we've got people going out this weekend to Kansas, Iowa State, and then we've got 2 people going down to the Western Kentucky at LSU game.
What will make the determination? I mean, if you have 3 or 4 schools that you could choose, what are the top 3 priorities that you look at and go, here's why we want your school?
Well, it depends which side it is. You look at potential fan travel. You look at the record, obviously. You look at the makeup of the team as far as, like, do they have outstanding players at positions? Those are some of the things we've looked at in the past. Remember, 1 year we had 2 of the top running backs in the country playing against each other. You look at ease of travel. And a number of different things, what the matchup would look like. So a lot of factors go into it, and it's not always a set of factors each year that's consistent. It can change from 1 year to the next.
To have a regional matchup with a Louisiana Tech and, let's say, a Baylor or TCU, mm-hmm. that just, for me, that reeks of you're going to pack the stands. I mean, are you chomping at the bit at something like that?
You always look for regionality because the ease of travel is a big deal. Over the years, as bowl games have been added, you've seen that kind of fall by the wayside overall. And so I think a lot of bowls have tried to get back to that if possible. It's not always a possibility, but you do look for those things. You know, can somebody get here in 5-6 hours? What's your game date? How does the travel work into the game date? So there's a number of factors that play into it, but anytime you can have a regionality in it, it matters. You want hotel nights, you want restaurants, you want a lot of different things for the community as far as economic impact. So how does the ease of travel do that?
Talking with Missy Setters from the Independence, every year it seems like there's just more and more bowl games. How do you compete with all of these? Independence Bowl, one of the longest running bowl games now in the country.
Yeah, I think there's 41 bowl games now, and 42 if you include the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta. And so there's a lot of competition out there. You know, we at one time for a while we were the smallest market to host a bowl game. We're still one of the smaller markets to do that. Still one of the independent bowl games that's a nonprofit. And so a lot of hard work by a lot of people in this community who believe in what we do for a number of reasons. You know, like I said, the economic impact is huge. We strive for that every year. filling up hotel rooms in December when it's usually a slow time. Excitement for the community, quality of life. You know, we look at all the things that we have to do here, and mm-hmm. you know, we've talked about it. We went to the fair. We went to the Revel. We went to Prize. We do all of these different things in the community. That supports the community, but that also enhances quality of life, and that can go a long way for companies looking at, are they going to locate here, you know? And so we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of the positives for our community. It's 3.5 hours on ESPN that we get to show off what we have here, and that's very important to us, to our staff, to our leadership, all the volunteers that help us out every year.
You have to be concerned. College football has changed immensely in the last few years. Last year we were hit hard by that transfer portal. I don't know the inside story about Marshall, why they bailed out, but a lot was said about the transfer portal. Their coach left. A lot of the kids left the team. They couldn't field a squad. How have these changes impacted the bowl community?
Oh, it's impacted it tremendously. What happened to us last year, you look at LSU a few years ago playing in the Houston Bowl. They had 47 scholarship players, and they chose to play in that bowl game. And I don't think there was a fan there that expected a really positive outcome, but there was a lot of pride that went into that, playing in that game with such a small number of scholarship players. So the landscape has changed dramatically in a number of ways. In my personal opinion, some of it was very late in happening. It should have happened years sooner as far as NIL, but there were no guardrails. We went from 0 to 150 just like that overnight. Mm-hmm. And you've got to have some guardrails in place. And you've got to have the student athlete welfare involved in it. You've got to protect them in a lot of ways. You've also got to protect what college football and college sports is about. And that doesn't mean you can't have one because you want the other. You've got to figure out ways for it to work together. And it's affected the Bulls in a lot of different scenarios. With us last year, it did. So they've moved to the transfer portal now. I believe it's January 2nd through the 12th. And then there's some caveats in there. If you used to be, if you lost a coach, then you'd have a portal window open for that school. Now I believe it's when you hire a new coach is when the new portal, shorter portal, opens. So it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Some good, some you kind of look at it and think that's got to be cleaned up some. So you know, it's never a dull moment. And I think the Independence Bowl, we know who we are, and we. You always have to find where you fit into things, but then always constantly working for something more. So being the 11th oldest bowl game in the country right now means a lot to us.
And it's more than just a football game. You've mm-hmm. got activities scheduled for the entire week.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, you do things throughout the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do. We do. We have our crawfish bowl for members, that we do our youth clinic. We have our big kickoff dinner every year. We have a number of events throughout the year. We do a lot of education-based donations and grants. We just gave away two $5,000 scholarships, one to a student in Bossier and one in Caddo. We're going to announce those soon. And that's in conjunction with Willis Knighton. And they decided this year, let's double that. We went from $2,500 a scholarship to $5,000. So we're very, very involved in the community. That's we value that tremendously. And then for bowl week, we've got public events. The public events are all free. We have a FCA breakfast. We have our fan fest on game day. We have our rally on the red the night before. And so there's plenty of things for, and it's all family oriented. So we welcome everybody to come out and enjoy it. And it's a lot of fun.
December 30th, 1 o'clock is the kickoff. I always like to put this plug out. If you want to go to the game, click on the group tickets banner. They're $15. You can buy it for your office, give them away to your staff, give them away to your school. It's a great deal. I encourage business owners to click on that group tickets and buy a set of group tickets for just $15 a piece. Missy Setters, thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate y'all.
You bet.
We'll talk to you again soon when we get closer. Okay. Missy Setters with the Independence Bowl. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We were watching. I had to get away from the news cycle for a little while. You know, you just.
I get it.
Every once in a while, you got to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon Prime had Moonstruck.
Oh, what a funny movie. God.
And I haven't seen it probably in 30 years. Dina said she's never seen it.
Wow.
And it came out in 88, which was the year our daughter was born. So we've been married for a few years.
Yeah.
How had I seen it and not her?
That's odd.
I couldn't figure that out. So we watched that, and it was on Prime, but they still run commercials
mm-hmm.
periodically through
yep.
the movie. But Aaron and Ruben, the commercials, they come up, okay, and they're running Bounty, the quicker pick, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then a little pop-up in the corner of the screen goes, add this to your cart now. Click here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Creepy.
Oh, my. You can shop.
Holy cow.
Now, it's intrusive, but it's actually genius. You know?
Oh, that's true. If you realize,
genius.
Hey, I need Bounty. I'm out of Bounty.
I just use
throw it in my
remote.
Cart.
It's added to my Amazon cart.
And they'll ship it here, and I don't even have to go to the grocery store.
Whilst watching a movie.
Woo-wee. Yeah. Amazon has a new commercial. I saw it the first time in the theater last week when I went to see the Sarah's Oil. It's the old women sitting on the bench, and they're watching people go down a snow mountain, a snow hill, you know, like on sleds.
Okay.
And then one of the old women comes, and she has these butt pads that she puts on the sleds, and these old women, they jump on the sleds and they take down. I'm like, what a brilliant commercial. It's brilliant. It's like, because they're sitting on the sidelines watching all these kids have so much fun, and you can see in their brain, oh, I wish I could still do that.
I've seen that.
And then you see them do it, and I'm like, man, Amazon's got some creative people, man.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, all throughout the company, and
You're watching a movie, and not only do they have they got the ad, but now it's instant.
You can buy it, yeah.
Instant. I mean,
you don't have to get your butt up off your lazy boy at all.
I know.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. That is kind of nutty. Man.
It's former Louisiana Supreme Court Justice Scott Creighton talked with us yesterday. We got some judge misconduct allegedly going on.
You bet.
And he'll talk to us about that right after the news at the bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Where is it? There it is. Boom. Mike, I know, right?
I'm at the nail salon yesterday getting my new. I like my pink. I got purple nails now. I like the pink better now that I'm looking.
Should
at
have done them. A dark purple and then yellow on
the tips. Yeah, I could do that. But they're playing, you know, nice soothing music or whatever, and then Christmas songs started coming on.
Right.
I still think it's too early.
Because it's hot.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. Because I got to thinking about this. I've got lights in my studio. These little bitty, they're Christmas lights, but they're on like a wire. It's just a little wire, but then they've got these little red and green and yellow and Christmas lights that go all around my studio. And I haven't turned them on. I just leave them up all year, but I don't turn them on.
Okay.
And I'm ready to turn them on.
Are you really?
Next week is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it because it's 80 freaking degrees.
Yeah, you'll have to look this morning because there is a polar vortex coming. And maybe that'll get us more in the holiday mood.
Absolutely.
It's supposed to cool us off. It looks like we could have a really cold December.
I'm wearing shorts right now for crying out loud.
Short sleeve shirt in
middle
here.
Middle of November. Oh, I know.
I know. Yeah. And Thanksgiving is a week from today, right?
A week from today.
Holy cannoli.
Exactly.
Wow. I wasn't in the feel good mood for Christmas music yesterday.
Nope.
I thought, It just seems a little early. I just had Halloween.
When I was at Sam's on Saturday ringing the bell for the Salvation Army, I had my Bose speaker, and I was playing Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
But I was out there sweating.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying, people.
Wow.
But it's hard to get in the Christmas. And people were like, wow, already?
I know.
It's like, yep. Merry Christmas.
It's time. Well, I was just, I guess we need colder weather.
That's it.
Maybe and that'll help. Yeah, maybe so. We'll see.
That'll help. Mm-hmm. Justice Scott Creighton joins us coming up just after this break, talking about misconduct on the bench. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's Ashley Madison, but I have more of an affinity for Dolly Madison. So
pastry gate, yeah.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, former Supreme Court Justice for Louisiana, Judge Scott Creighton, Creighton joining us.
Judiciary Commission issued their findings in the Shiva Sims case, a city court judge, recommending a suspension of a year. Tell us that process and how that works. And I know you're trying to jump on a plane, so you're in a rush.
I'm literally about to jump on a plane. So, but first, I want to comment on the Dolly Madison thing. It is Ashley Madison. I was going to call in, but then I'd be exposing the fact that I know anything about it, which, by the way, I don't.
Good.
Yeah, apparently, Mike doesn't either.
Fortunately, our names were not on the list.
So, how does that Judiciary Commission work?
Well, the commission is made up of 14 members, a number of civilian members appointed by the legislature, both the House and the Senate, and also the Court of Appeal Association. That would be the judges of the intermediate appellate courts. The Supreme Court has one nominee that is appointed for and all these terms are 4 years. And also the district court judges can pick one civilian person. So it's made up of judges, lawyers, and non-lawyers, and it's 14 in number. They hear evidence based on complaints, and the complaints when they come in are investigated. Apparently this one was investigated over the course of a year or two or so. That's called due process, I think. But in any event, there's investigation, and then there is a hearing, much like a trial, and the trial is open to the public, normally, based on a revision of the rule that was made during the time that I was at the Louisiana Supreme Court. So then they after they hear all the evidence, both from the prosecuting lawyer with the commission. And the judge's defense lawyer, they rule on whether there are violations or not. In this case, they rule that there were, in fact, violations of the judicial canons. And then they recommend sanctions.
Now, let me ask you that, because I know you're in a hurry. When they make this recommendation to suspend Judge Shiva Sims for a year, that recommendation goes to the state Supreme Court. How soon do they typically make a ruling and take that up and do it?
It's expeditiously done. I only had one cup of coffee. I had trouble with the word expeditious. But anyway, it's expeditiously. How's that?
Mm-hmm. You didn't have trouble with the word Ashley Madison.
I caught that one, though, Mike. I had no problem with that. Anyway, I wasn't going to call in, like I said. Anyhow, the Louisiana Supreme Court reviews the entire record, and it will rule on whether the allegations are proven by clear and convincing evidence or not. And if they do conclude that the allegations are proven, much like the commission has said, then they review the sanction of 1 year suspension without pay, and they have the power. The Supreme Court, Louisiana Supreme Court, has the power to either reduce that or increase that. So the range of penalty is wide open for the Louisiana Supreme Court. They can remove her from the bench, they can increase the suspension from 1 year to 18 months or 2 years or 3 years if they see fit, or they can reduce it. Any of those three, and they will write an opinion. I like saying they because I'm not there, and
right.
I'm enjoying my new life.
And good for you.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But the Supreme the court will rule on that early next year. It's done pretty quickly, but there's a volume of transcripts to review and apply the law. They look at it, giving great deference to the 14 commission members. Mm-hmm. So a final result will be had sometime early 2026.
Does she have a right to appeal to anybody?
No, that's the end of it. It's a state matter. It doesn't go to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's merely a state matter. It doesn't go to federal court. That is it.
End of the road, then.
Supreme Court, Louisiana former Supreme Court Justice, Judge Scott Creighton, enjoying his time. Let me change gears for just a moment and ask about the Caddo Parish Commission case going. Can you comment on that?
I really can't right now. It's a pending matter, and yes, I am a lawyer involved in that case, but I can't.
Okay, no,
you understand. Thought I'd try though.
I love saying this, Mike. I would if I could, but I can't.
All right, where are you flying off to today? Can you chair?
New York.
Oh,
New York.
For fun or business
or pleasure?
It's business seminar. And by the way, I'm teaching ethics. Put that on the radio.
Oh, okay. You're a good choice for that. I would say. Good choice. Thank you, Judge. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Just the Louisiana Supreme Court former Justice Scott Creighton. His name was not on the Ashley Madison list, but our names are on the Dolly Madison
list.
Yes,
they are.
Get some zingers and some powdered donuts. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Hey, wake up over there. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? We're on the air. You got to turn your microphone on.
I don't know how many times I have to tell Ruben, don't start this segment if I'm not ready.
I know. I'm a little confused about what Richard Llewellyn told us the other day, that it was going to be Thursday was going to be a wet washout.
He said a lot of rain. A
lot of rain coming in Thursday. Now it's kind of moved. It's delayed until Monday. But is there a polar vortex I'm seeing coming in that's going to dip down and make things really cold?
If I ever had a brain, which don't even open that conversation, I would have gone into meteorological school when I was in high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
What a job. You're never held accountable.
You can be wrong all the time.
You can be wrong all the time.
Nobody cares.
I'd get a job in like Tucson. Sunny and 84 today.
Yes,
sunny
exactly.
And 84. So 85 tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, yeah. What was I thinking?
Yeah, that'd be a good. What's the Bill Murray Groundhog Day? I watched that movie last weekend again. That movie, he's a POS the start.
Right. Well, that's the whole point.
But if you watch the movie and you pay close attention, he turns into a decent human being by the end.
That's the point.
That's his character arc.
Really?
I missed that in the first couple of dozen times I've watched it. I don't know why. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
You know what a lot of other people miss?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Ned Ryerson was the angel that caused all of that. That turned him into a good person.
Really?
Because Groundhog's Day didn't end until he bought insurance from Ryerson. No matter
really?
What he tried, he kept waking up. But until he bought the insurance from Ryerson, yeah.
That's how it ends.
Now I'm going to have to go back and rewatch.
Yep.
I'm going to have to watch that too. I don't even remember him buying insurance from Ryerson.
Yeah, at the end.
Now, I'm going to say something, and okay, people are going to vilify me because this is a much-beloved movie. I love it. I was on set. I snuck on set. I told you this story. Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
Back in the 80s,
mm-hmm,
I sold commercial truck tires to big 18-wheelers,
okay,
for Moyes,
yeah,
Goodyear. But if you go back and watch that movie today, the accents are terrible.
Oh, they are terrible. They really are.
The accents are terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Weezer Boudreaux. Yeah, yeah.
And Olympia Dukakis, I think, mm-hmm, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Moonstruck last night. She was phenomenal.
Right.
Her accent was terrible.
Yeah. I got another one for you to watch. It might not be for you.
Daryl Hannah?
Ladies need to watch this one. It's Lily on Netflix. It's the story of Lily Ledbetter. When you mentioned tires, I went, oh, bing.
Okay.
She worked for Goodyear Tire Company, and she got promoted up the chain in the company, and then realized a few years down the road they had been paying men in the same position she was in.
Double or?
Way more than she was making.
Right, right.
And she ended up taking the case all the way to the Supreme Court. She became friends with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, it's an incredible story. When Obama signed the bill of equal pay, she's there. He hands her the pen.
Now, you have to look, I'm not defending that. I'm, mm-hmm, not defending that. But in the 50s, the men were the ones that worked. Okay, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying? They,
right,
were the ones supporting the family.
This wasn't in the 50s, though.
I know,
this,
but I'm,
yeah,
just saying the practice. I'm not defending it because women, quite frankly, probably deserve more.
She ended up losing at the Supreme Court, by the way. A 5-4 ruling with Ruth Bader Ginsburg writing the dissenting opinion. But ultimately, she got the law changed. But we still have it not enforced.
Yeah.
It's still happening. Still earning 75%. To what men in the same job
make.
Well,
because they should be barefoot and in the kitchen.
Oh, man. Let me get your daughter on the phone just one second.
Yeah, my daughter, who makes way more than I do, works, yeah, for SpaceX, for
exactly,
crying out loud.
Exactly.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
.7 FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring.
I'm getting there.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Jordan Thomas, Red River United, president now, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank y'all.
Although this is not a happy time for us, we're not just calling to discuss your presidency. Your kingship.
School board looks like has passed another increase in health insurance premiums. Is this the third year in a row that the costs have gone up?
Yes, this is the third year in a row that it's gone up by 7.5%.
That's 23-24% in 3 years.
Yes, and you might remember that the first one that we had, that the very first 7.5%, they wanted to do a 15% increase. They said that was the magic number that they needed. And we were able to get a compromise, and we did the 7.5%, and they had some funds that they used to kind of offset that for our employees. And so, you know, now they've gotten their 15% and now plus some. So,
You're getting better coverage now, aren't you?
Of course.
Your
it's the same coverage.
No increased coverage at all.
No, this is not. And in fact, they've also coupled in this year a couple of extra things with it's a 52% increase for emergency room copay. And then they also have the $100 minimum copay for a specialty drug. So, you know, it's a pretty significant hit because, you know, there has not been a permanent, local pay raise since 2017. And that was a 5% increase across the board. So, you know, it's 8 years since we've had a pay raise and we've seen our insurance now, you know, go up, 7.5% times three. And so, you know, we're just kind of, we're upset with that. You know, we understand everything is more expensive. You hear that every day from milk, you know, to your gasoline, all those things. But the fact is that, you know, for our pay to remain stagnant, it's really just a slap in the face, you know, to our current teachers and school employees.
You've gotten
and
the,
then this
you've
year,
gotten,
you know, you've gotten the retirees too.
Yeah. You've gotten the stipends. This sucks up the stipend and then some, right?
Correct. And the thing with the stipends, you know, of course we know it's one-time money. And this year, we got the little stipend, but the performance stipends that we've had year after year that employees began to really count on, we don't have anything that will be paid out next year for those, because those monies were through our ESSER funds, that came out through, in relief to COVID. And so those monies aren't there either. And so that's the thing. And the other thing about the stipends, while they're great, and we don't want to say we don't want those stipends, they don't count towards retirement. And so that's not really something that you count on in the long run, and you can't plan for that. And so that's where, we've got to see something permanent. And, this year they really stuck it to the retirees. Last year they gave them the opportunity to go to the Blue Cross, Medicare Advantage plan. This year, if you're eligible, if you're 65, if you're eligible, your spouse is eligible, everybody has to go.
Jordan Thomas with Red River United. I have to ask you, I mean, getting qualified teachers in the classroom is almost as bad as finding police officers these days. This has to hurt recruiting.
It does hurt recruiting. And, one of the things that Caddo did a couple of years ago is they did a vestment schedule. So, you have to work in the parish for X amount of years to retire with this amount of insurance. And so that's how the other parishes are as well. So really with that, it really hurts you, because if you said, listen, I could make $10,000 more if I just drove over to Bossier Parish, you can't do that if you're counting on retiring with insurance. And so they kind of keep you there. And that's kind of the tough part about it as well. So that's where what you find is people just leaving the profession altogether. And that's really a sad thing, because, these benefits that we have, our insurance, our retirement, these are not extras. These are part of your compensation package. These are the strongholds that keep good folks there. And so really it's just a slap in the face to say, here we are again, we're asking for more money, but we have nothing on the table to give you. And that's terrible.
Are there, what's been the response to a pay raise from the Caddo Parish School Board?
Well, I will say this, they do continue to say that they're looking, they want to increase the pay, they understand the need for it, and that's all well and good. And, whenever those talks, when we see something official, we will be thrilled for that. But the problem is that the promise of a pay raise does not pay my electric bill, and the promise of a pay raise doesn't do anything for me in the interim, because people are hurting now. People are working multiple jobs. If y'all heard the board meeting the other day, we had a paraprofessional who spoke at the board meeting. She's making $680 every 2 weeks. Imagine living on that. We have people that are working every single day at the Caddo Parish School Board office, and they are still living in poverty, and that's unacceptable.
The I do a check of the school salaries across the state, and Caddo is in the top 5%. Obviously, we know Red River Parish is the highest paying. It's like something like $78,000 on average. But when we look at the average pay, is that kind of where we're making a mistake? You may have some that are on average, some that are making good pay, but some that are making very low pay. Is that part of the problem?
Well, that's part of the problem when we look at our classified employees compared to our certified employees that really need the classified, really need the big jump, more so than, of course, the certified employees as well. But the thing is, Aaron, when you're talking about looking at the state and saying, well, Caddo's high within the state, you have to look at how significantly below Louisiana is in the southern regional average. And so just, you're kind of, every single parish in this state, we're, besides like what you're talking about, Red River Parish, and they get those significant bonuses and things like that, on average in the state of Louisiana, we are significantly below. And that's what's bad. So to look around and say, well, compared to other people, it's not that bad. But when you look at what the demand is, and you look at throughout the entire state, you see a shortage everywhere. And that is simply because the pay is not competitive. The pay does not reflect the duties that you're asking of these teachers and school employees.
One more thing, because I know several teachers, and I'm going to be honest with you, almost all of them have another job. Is that becoming, mm-hmm. Kind of commonplace for teachers these days?
Yes. I mean, it's, when we do things, because, as the union, and we say, hey, we're going to have a meeting at, we have a membership meeting today at 5:30. And, so we try to find ways to meet them through Zoom or whatever, but they're like, well, I'm sorry, I have a second job. I can't do it. And that is really what it is. And, when the people, of course, say to any teacher, well, you have the summers off, and I don't think you'll be met very warmly because they are working all summer long at other jobs. And typically they're attending trainings that are required through the state or required through the district where they don't receive compensation. And so that's kind of where people are, and they're burned out, and it's just too much. And, you know, at this point, something's got to give. I mean, that's really where we are with all of it.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Thomas, Red River United, thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you all so much.
You bet.
Thank you. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I do have a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Interrupted.
101.7 FM, 710. You don't like it, McCurdy.
8 years on a job with no pay raise. That really is inexcusable. That really is. 8 years is a long time.
I agree.
And you're teaching our children.
I agree.
And it's somebody needs to address that. That's kind of inexcusable. It really is. For public workers, there's a proposal. There's an interesting proposal, by the way, that Gary Brooks is proposing, a pay raise that is causing some big trouble in Shreveport. He's proposing
That wouldn't be parish employees. That'd be city. Shreveport. Okay.
He's proposing a pay raise for police officers.
Okay.
Not firefighters. Every emergency responder pay raise we've ever given in this community has been police and fire.
Sure.
His proposal on the agenda for next week is only addressing police officers.
Interesting.
Guess who's a little bit hot under the collar?
The garbage workers?
No. Firefighters.
Well, yeah.
But the thing is, all city workers got a 13% increase within the last 4 or 5 years.
But we've talked about that. That was a lazy way to do it because it was across the board. Everybody. Horrible.
Even Henry Whitehorn, the sheriff now, he was CAO at the time, and he told the council when they did it, this is unsustainable.
And it's not the best way to do it.
No. It's not. It's not. But, again, you were losing municipal employees right and left. Our garbage workers were going to private companies. We had, you know, our SPAR workers were going and finding jobs elsewhere.
Sure.
You couldn't keep employees. And that was the time when we were starting to have trouble. Everybody was having trouble finding employees. So that helped keep some people on the job. But it's going to raise a lot of commotion when you propose something to give police officers a pay raise and you exclude firefighters.
What's the argument that their job is...
Well, the argument is recruiting.
Okay.
It's easy to recruit firefighters. Everybody wants to be a hero firefighter. You know, you're the good guys. You come in and save the day.
Right.
Police officers, not so good guys in the public's mind. I mean, I'm not saying, please don't say I said police officers weren't the good guys.
I'm not saying I don't kind of understand this.
There's merit to it.
There is merit to it. But, no diss on firefighters.
Nope.
Believe me, I've done both. But I see this.
Mm-hmm. But if you're down 150 officers, I would bet Clarence Reese Jr., the fire chief, is not going to come in this room and tell me he's down 150 firefighters.
Right.
It's not going to be his problem. So you have to find a way to address that.
And Aaron, the job is inherently different. They're two different jobs.
Absolutely.
You can't compare the two and go, they should be equal pay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, they're not equal pay.
I'm not saying
pay,
one.
But,
I'm,
right,
okay,
right.
But I'm saying.
Treat them the same.
They're
yeah.
two different entities.
And I think reasonable firefighters would say there is some validity to this because we do know they are short. They are short staffed. But. If you've handled something the same way.
But if they're getting a raise, we want a raise.
Over and over and over again.
Sure. And that's natural, too.
People get a little yikey about it. So.
Interesting.
But teachers, to go 8 years for teachers without a permanent raise, I know you get stipends and you get these one-time bumps, but That's not, you can't count on that every year. You can't guarantee it. It's not in the bank. So, I don't know.
I've reached out to Shreveport Police spokesperson Chris Bordelon to see if we can get an update on last night's shooting. Two dead, if you haven't heard, we haven't talked about that in a while.
Yeah.
One injured. It was a rolling shootout down Clyde Fan Parkway.
Right there at Preston. And a lot of my neighbors heard it. It's my neighborhood. I didn't hear it. I must have been sleeping, is all I can figure. By the way, I have to leave a little early today. I have something to attend to, personal. So I'm going to be bugging out.
You forgot to feed Bo, didn't you? You got to run back home and feed Bo.
That's not my problem.
You got to let Bo... Oh, is he still at the farm?
He's still at the farm. Yeah,
I'm telling you, Aaron, I love that.
I know. He's loving his life. He's loving. He's living his best life.
And it's not the farm where your dog goes.
Right, exactly.
Your parents told you, well, it's at a farm now.
But your buddy Jeff Luce is coming in.
Luce is coming in. And look, I'm excited, too, because this pickleball, Jeff's son, Jesse, plays pickleball for Baylor.
Oh, he's a big shot. Okay.
So this is pretty cool, and I want to kind of get a perspective on what we've got going on.
Okay.
And how it could literally change the game. Shreveport could be the Omaha of pickleball.
Ooh.
What Omaha is to college baseball, Shreveport could be to pickleball.
Okay.
And talk to people in Omaha about tourism and travel and
no doubt.
Money and
No doubt. So I'll be back tomorrow.
We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. You take care. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Aaron had to kind of go take care of some business. Jeff Luce in studio, Mike and McCarty. And I'm excited. You brought your son.
Yeah.
Jesse, say hi. Introduce yourself.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
20 years old.
Yeah.
At Baylor University. And he plays pickleball.
He does.
And you travel. It's.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is... How does this work? Real quick. This is just real quick, and then I want to get more in depth after the break. But it's a club team, right?
Yes,
is that how that works?
Yes. So a few schools have full-on, like, collegiate teams, but then the majority of schools, it's still just a club at the moment.
Okay. But it's sanctioned by the university.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
I don't know exactly how that works, but it sounds official.
Right.
But you travel and represent the school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
All over. So you've seen some pretty cool places.
Yeah.
As far as facilities.
Yes. Very, very, like, I've gotten to play at some places I would have never have gotten to play otherwise.
And places that have kind of done it right as far as pickleball, is that?
Yes. I've played up in Dallas. They have some fantastic facilities up there. And then I've also, one of my other favorite places to play was in Austin. Got to play on a building in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Well, Caddo Parish, we know, is looking at investing in a new pickleball facility. It's in conjunction with the YMCA park, and it's going to have soccer and walking trails, and it's going to be more than just pickleball. So we're going to talk about that when we take a break. Thanks, guys, for coming in. And then after the news, top of the hour, we've got Kathy Seiden, if I'm saying her name right. I don't think it's Seiden. I think it's Seiden. She's running for U.S. Senate. Very interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to her after the news, top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron. She had to go take care of she had an appointment this morning, and Jeff's son, Jesse, is in. Plays pickleball for Baylor. I just think this is so cool. And we were talking during the break. Now, there's men and women. You have men's teams, women's teams, but you also do mixed doubles?
Yes, yeah. We have, we hit all the events, doubles, mixed, singles, all of them count.
Now, are you familiar with what's going on in Caddo Parish with the pickleball proposal?
I've seen some stuff. I'm in a lot of pickleball related group chats around here, so they're talking about it.
So what's the discussion on the boards, on the group chats right now? Are people like thinking, okay, Caddo Parish may be doing this right? 19 courts, ample facility for spectators and parking.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of excitement for it. There's a lot of questions of like how it's going to end up working out. But overall, I mean, I'm looking forward to see how they do it, you know, if they do it right. So we'll see how it goes.
You know, one of the things that you and I talked about before was that, you know, for me, I wanted to see these indoor courts and all of that kind of
right.
stuff. And then when I talked to Jesse was like, oh, no, you want these.
That's out. Not what they
right.
want.
Yes,
the
right.
professionals don't want indoor courts,
right.
which is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I just want to stay out of the elements, you know, but I'm 100. So,
well, yeah. a year, I don't know, last year, maybe the year before, we went to, there's some really nice pickleball courts in South Shreveport at
Southern Hills?
Southern Hills.
Yeah.
Southern Hills Tennis Complex. Mm-hmm. They have converted, I don't know, 8-10 pickleball courts there. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played there?
Oh, yes. Southern Hills, I've played there many, many times. Great courts.
Now, we had a great time, except for the fact that it was about 5 in the afternoon on an August afternoon.
Right.
And I would have liked indoor courts then.
Yeah.
Because it was hot as it gets here.
Yeah, because I'll come, you know, Jesse would come home from playing at Southern Hills, and he'll have, 10, 15,000 steps and probably is covered in at least 14 pounds of sweat.
Mm-hmm,
you know
what
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it does. I mean,
it's a beautiful facility.
It
oh,
is
yeah.
They've
beautiful.
Really done
yeah.
a great job
and
there.
And at night, because of the fact that it's got lights, I mean, mm-hmm. it's fantastic. So they've done a great job out there.
So I need to find out what the latest is, where we are on the Caddo Parish
yeah.
proposal, if you've heard anything.
I have not heard anything lately. I am very curious as to where they stand.
I mean, the Caddo Parish Commission has approved.
Right.
So
looked like we were moving forward.
At this point, I think we're moving forward.
And
so.
The facility opened up in Bossier, right? Didn't the Pickler?
Has it opened yet?
I don't believe it's
open. Oh, is it not?
Open.
Okay,
I don't know that 100%.
It's okay. at the boardwalk.
At the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're still working on
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah.
So very exciting because if you've ever been to Omaha, we went... and I've just got 30 seconds. We went for Olympic time trials, and they have a huge natatorium there as well as the baseball complex. But they have really invested in college and athletics.
Yeah.
We could do the same thing, and it's really paid off big time.
It'd be so great for this area.
I think so, too. Yeah. I encourage them. We've spoken with different commissioners, and I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see it happening.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Coming up after the news, top of the hour, senatorial candidate Kathy Seiden going to be joining us in studio. Micah McCarty, she's vying for Bill Cassidy's seat. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Erin had an appointment this morning. She had to leave a little early. Jeff Luce is in for Erin. And you brought your son along. You brought
yeah.
your son along just to kind of tag along. And he's in town.
Yeah.
And wanted to come sit in the Keel studio where your dad was once famous, by the way.
Oh, yes. I've heard the stories of the day.
The Keel sports kid.
Yes. Yes. So famous. Right. Yikes.
Back in the day. I got a text from a friend because if somebody's just tuning in, Jesse is your son, 20 years old. You're at Baylor University. What are you studying, by the way?
Accounting.
Good for you. Are you okay? Here's another. Are you concerned at all about AI?
Oh, actually, that's been a hot topic in accounting right now. They have all these professionals coming in, and their number one piece of advice is learn how to use AI. Like, before they even give us advice about how to do accounting. They tell us to learn AI. So it's
because
definitely...
it's first of all, it's changing so fast. Mm-hmm. Even Ruben and I and Aaron, we'll hear commercials that are voiced, and you go, right. Wait, why would you say Maryland? No, it's Maryland.
Right.
No. And in Maryland, well, that's AI.
Right. Yeah, there's indicators that you definitely can tell. Oh, yeah.
And it used to be the old Siri voice. You knew it was automatic, generated. Now you can't tell.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And again, you and I have talked about it.
Absolutely.
With the app that you downloaded one of my news stories from the Keel website.
Yes.
Into this app. And then... Two minutes later, there's two people talking like it's a podcast.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Notebook LM. Yeah, that is, it's crazy.
And it sounds real.
It
but
does.
But one of the concerns is accountants.
Oh, yeah.
That they're going to be, I mean, it's essentially phased out because of AI. And now you're studying that.
I personally hope that's not the case.
Well, of course.
And so does his dad.
Yeah, I have a vested interest.
So does his dad.
His dad's going, you know, plumbers, they're not going to be replaced.
Learn to swing a hammer.
Need a good plumber.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, that's interesting. But I did get a text. You're on the pickleball team for Baylor. Yes. Are the majority of the courts indoor or outdoor?
I would say the majority is heavily in the outdoor.
Outdoor.
Yes. I mean, it's way easier to get a consistent outdoor because you don't have to worry about lighting as much outdoor because it's the sun and space is way easier. A lot of places make indoor courts and then they make it way too small. They just don't think about it. And then it's almost unplayable because of the space.
Well, we'll have both if the Pickler opens.
Yeah.
If the Caddo Parish keeps progressing on our park.
Right. Yeah, it should be really nice.
Kathy Seiden, candidate for Senate, joining us in studio after the news. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app. One seven FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty. Erin had an appointment she had to take care of this morning. Jeff Luce graciously came in and is in here with us.
Honored.
Good morning.
Love
Thank
being
you.
In here.
The Keel Sports Kid.
Yes.
And you brought your son, which I was actually very excited when you said Jesse was going to be coming with you.
Yeah.
20 years old. Jesse, say hi.
Hello.
Thank you very much. He's obedient.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Very well
Raise
behaved.
Me well.
Thank you.
Go get me some more coffee. But you go to Baylor. You're in accounting. We talked a little bit last hour about possible AI concerns.
Oh yeah.
We had Kathy Seiden lined up, but I haven't heard from her. Maybe she got held up in some way. So hopefully we will hear back from her and maybe get her scheduled at a later
time. Yeah, I'd love to.
Because I do want to talk to her. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
She is.
I've looked up some information on her.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I just saw kind of some of the things that she's done. And one of the quotes that she made that I thought was really good is she feels like everybody in Congress should have to run a small business at some point in their life. Because, you know, I remember when I was in small business, and for those of you who are in small business, you understand what the 20th meant every month, and that was the day that payroll tax was due. And, you know, I still have a reminder in my phone right now that beeps on the 20th just so that I can remember I don't have to deal with payroll tax anymore, you know, but it is.
It's kind of odd, but okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it is. And because it was just such a stressful moment
right.
of the month. And it was way before you could just set up QuickBooks or whatever to do that.
But when our founding fathers set this country up and set up this system, which is the greatest system in the history of the world, bar none,
right?
The intention was not to have people in Congress for 30 and 40 years.
Right.
You were to go in, you served your term, then you went back into the private sector.
Right. Yeah.
There was not this Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi you're in there for life.
Yes. Yeah. And it's clearly, yeah, it, I mean, when you start.
And they're on the Republican side, too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you're.
Mitch McConnell, he needs to go home.
My oldest sister worked for Defense Intelligence for years. And one of the things that was interesting is that one of the very last things, she had risen up very high on the civil service side. She was equivalent, I think, to a general, but on the civil service side. And, but her last contract that she had to do, she had a contract that she was in charge of that in which she was going to spend $1 billion. And I mean, that is this, just this one contract that, you know, one woman from Shreveport, Louisiana is in charge of.
And taxpayer dollars.
Taxpayer dollars. And so the 20th came up and I knew where, you know, this money was going every month. And it was just hard to know that, you know, that she was about to buy. And she agreed. It was always tough for her because, you know, she was like contracted. She had to buy 6,000, you know, Herman Miller chairs that all run $1,000 a piece or whatever. I'm making up numbers. But, you know, that it was that kind of thing, knowing how hard that we worked for this money. And yet it felt very difficult to watch the government spend those things.
My daughter will call me and she's, and I, you know, I say, hey, how's work going? And she's, she works for SpaceX in Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
And she is, she says, oh, I'm working on a contract right now. It's for the steel, for this tower, blah, blah, blah. She does the construction. She's in charge of, I don't know exactly what she's.
Yes.
I'd be lying if I said, well, yeah, I know what she does.
Right. She buys things.
But she does. Yeah, she's in charge. She has a $6 million contract.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just like, I'm about to.
Right.
And she's doing it. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her. She's so much smarter than I am.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But I feel the same way about Jesse.
No, absolutely.
And Ruby Jane and Reagan.
And that's why I was excited about you when you said he could be coming in with you, because not only from the pickleball aspect, but you're 20 years old.
Yes, sir.
Studying accounting at Baylor. And that's why I like talking with Ruben. Ruben, he's the same age as my kids.
Sure.
So I'm able to get the different perspective on things that this old boomer may not be up to date on quite things. So I do like to get that perspective.
Yeah, and it's always interesting because I know that, like with so many of my friends, I was kind of the very first year in which computer labs were in college, you know. And so just the year before me, so many of my friends, they're like, I remember I had one friend who used to print out all his emails and then file them in a filing cabinet. Like, you know, what a waste.
Does he still do that?
I doubt it very seriously, but who knows? He might.
I used to print out scripts when I got.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do voiceovers for radio and TV, and I worked at Channel 3 for, I still have a studio there since 97.
Yeah.
But I also would do it for companies, radio and TV across the country.
Yeah.
And I printed every script.
Oh, yeah.
I printed, Jeff, every script. Yeah. And I had boxes of just these. Yeah. And I was like, this is stupid. Yeah. I'm getting them through email.
Right.
Why am I spending $150 on ink cartridges every 2 weeks or whatever?
Right. And I'm always
ridiculous
when people delete emails and things like that. And I delete them every so often. But the truth is they're not heavy. You know, I can carry thousands of them. And so why delete them?
Yeah, but I don't know. No, I do. So, I can't stand. I can't stand to have the garbage.
Yes.
I clean it. I don't know.
I keep my unread emails below 10.
Thank you.
So only because there was some sort of update on Apple. My unread emails was at 131,000.
That's just stupid. What lists are you on?
You're not the first person to call me stupid.
So, I didn't say you are. Yeah, I said that was.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That would drive me nuts.
Well, and
what if it is. I mean, what if it's something important? Got 130,000 unread emails.
Yeah, but they're things like, you know, a notification from Home Depot or things like that. And so,
see, my wife gets that.
Yeah,
my wife does a lot of that.
And so,
I'm like, no.
I'm always looking through my most recent emails and you know, making sure that I'm catching all of the
things. So why not just delete it? I slide it. I slide to the left. Boom, again, gone.
My phone is no heavier. It still weighs the same with 131,000 unread emails. So.
Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. We are going to try to get an update on last night's shooting. I've reached out to Corporal Chris Bordelon with the Shreveport Police Department. Hopefully, we'll get in touch with him. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Get real close to that mic there. Kathy Seiden, you were just running a little late, right?
Get late. You can ask me anything you want now.
even closer there.
Okay, here
but,
we go.
You're running for Senate.
Yes.
In this district.
Yes.
Bill Cassidy's seat. I want to talk to you about this. So you obviously think Bill Cassidy is vulnerable.
Yes.
Tell me real quick in 2 minutes why you decided to run for Senate.
Okay.
Just tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
I'm from Baton Rouge. Well, I grew up in Port Allen, went to high school in Baton Rouge and went to LSU. And my husband and I moved off a couple of times, just school and that kind of thing. And we wanted to move back to, we had our first son. We were living in Birmingham and wanted to move back. We missed Louisiana.
And your husband is from here.
He is from Shreveport. Family's from Shreveport. And so it's nice to, we have a lot of great memories here. Got engaged here.
Oh,
you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, no.
But you've been married 30 years.
We were married 30 years on the 18th.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's been a fun 30 years. Yeah, yeah, we have four boys and so most of the time we've spent in Mandeville,
mm-hmm.
and on the North Shore. We moved back to Louisiana because we missed it so much. And so we've raised the boys, and now I decided about 2 years ago to run for the parish council, and won that seat, and saw different issues that were going on in our parish, kind of running up to the federal level. And so when I looked at the Senate race, no one inspired me that was currently running, and so I decided to throw my hat in the ring.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more about why and what you're planning, what
Absolutely.
Your plans are.
Good.
So thank you for coming out. I appreciate it. Jeff Luce in for Aaron. Aaron, my co-host, had an appointment this morning, so she had to leave. So
yeah, so you got stuck with me, and I appreciate that. So
the Keel sports kid.
Yes.
And so.
Which no one knows what you're talking about.
It's all right. We do. Mike and McCarty, we'll be back with Kathy Seiden after the news, bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty. Aaron is out for the rest of the morning. Jeff Luce in. We are talking with Kathy Seiden for U.S. Senate. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with her. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Senatorial candidate Kathy Seiden in studio. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron. Kathy, your family has a business. Tell us a little bit about. You're not a lifelong politician.
You didn't start out
council or school board. You've run businesses. Tell us a little bit about
I will.
And why you decided to put your hat in the ring for Senate, for crying out loud.
So I definitely didn't take the path that everyone says you have to take, but I think that's what we need right now.
Agreed.
My father, it's unfortunate, my father passed away 7 years ago, very suddenly.
So sorry.
Thank you. I'm an only child, and my mom did not want to sell the business, and so I took over. I would drop my kids off at school at 8 o'clock and drive the hour and a half to Baton Rouge. Well, Brule. I don't know if anybody knows where Brule is up in this part of the part of the state. But I would drive to Brule, and I took over the business and really learned it. It was it was definitely the toughest couple of years of my life. But I learned so much about what it takes to really, we were talking about this earlier, what it really takes to make payroll and yes. make sure taxes are all covered. And so I just saw, and now I see how hard it is on small business owners. And you have just layer after layer of taxes and licenses. And
people who haven't run a business don't understand those things.
And small businesses are they're the heart of your community. You know, we've been there 40 years. Mm. We have a little coffee crew in the morning that come, not little, they'd be upset if I said that, but we have guys that come in
yeah.
who gossip more than the women, by the way. And they come in and they've been in for 40 years. Their sons are in now, our coffee crew. And so, these small businesses really are just the heart of your community. So it's crushing on everyone right now.
Now, you obviously feel that Bill Cassidy is vulnerable, and you say you're not really impressed by any candidates that are in the race. Why did you decide to get in, and why should somebody look at Kathy Seiden?
Why would you vote for me? Because I am different. I understand what families are going through. I stayed home with my boys for 20 years. I understand what moms are going through and what small businesses are having to endure right now. I don't think these people are bad people. I think they're just out of touch. The first thing I would do is tackle crime. I think we've gotten too complacent with crime in Louisiana. Shreveport, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans need to be cleaned up right away. And I think we would all boom economically. Secondly, jobs. We have to bring jobs back to our state, especially up. I've been speaking to people all over Shreveport and around. It's kind of central Louisiana and up. We have a lot of opportunity right now. And so that's my second point. We need to bring jobs back to the state and keep our kids
to me,
here.
Economic development solves a lot of problems, including crime. And
I agree. Look, I've started our economic development work group at St. Tammany Parish. So I do have some experience there on the council. And I do know, and we need that across the whole state. I know Susan Bourgeois is doing a great job, so I'd love to work with her to continue that. Education. Focus on education. I know we're on the upswing, but I'll work very hard with our local legislators to continue to make that happen. And then health. We were 45th in health when Bill Cassidy was elected, and we are 50th.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Wrong direction. Mm-hmm. I know right now Louisiana has got a really unique opportunity with Mike Johnson, with Scalise, and with Senator Kennedy. If we have someone that we could all work together, we can really turn the state around.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I love what you were saying just a moment ago when you said that you stayed home with your boys for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, just from your site, I saw that you had this career at Dell and all of that. And so what that tells me is that your values on family were so huge that you put aside all of those things to be with your boys during those 20 years, as well as I also noticed that you're very vocal about your faith as well, which I was impressed with.
Well, thank you. I am. It's the cornerstone of, I mean, Christ is the cornerstone of my life. I think it helps me, not I think, I know it helps me to look at everything with a more loving, merciful, that's
and gives people me. A deeper idea about the way that you are going to position things when it comes to political side because of the choices that you've made in your own life.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I do think we need more of a family first agenda right now.
Yeah.
Along with the America First agenda.
Sure, yeah.
I think they go hand in hand.
So if Kathy Seiden gets elected, what's the first thing that you want to do? What would you...
First thing I want to do is tackle crime.
Mm-hmm. And what does that look like?
Well, it looks like taking the lifeline from the president for New Orleans especially. And we have a new mayor. I have not met her yet, but I know she is ready to clean up New Orleans as well. We really do have a unique opportunity right now, and I think we need to jump on that. But clean up New Orleans first, and then with Shreveport and Baton Rouge, the next two cities.
President Trump has talked about National Guard troops in New Orleans and then Baton Rouge and then up here in yes. Shreveport as well. How do you feel about using our troops?
I feel like they're more police officers that can just aid our current police officers. Right. Look, I had a son at Tulane. He played football. He was huge. I still worried about him when he would go out in New Orleans. And so
he was going out to read to orphans, wasn't he? He wasn't going out.
The whole team
yeah,
was.
Right,
yes.
Right.
They were precious right. angels. Yes. You know, we were in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and the National Guard was there. It was electric. we were able to walk around in areas that I haven't walked around in, and comfortably so, in New Orleans in years. And so that I think New Orleans, especially with what's happened in New York, New Orleans would be the number one city in the country.
Well, and the opposition will position it as, well, it's oppressive. People are afraid when they see armed
military
on the streets. They're afraid. No, I think it's the exact opposite.
An added level of safety. I mean, I'm all for all of that. That's always good. I want to be safe where I am. I never mind it when I'm in Mexico and they've got armed guards as you get off the cruise ship. You know, I'm like, hey.
That was one of the things that I remember when we went to Cancun one year. This is 30 years ago, so it was before all the madness.
Right.
But that was one of the things was the armed federales.
Right.
Because at that time they understood tourism is this is the bread and butter.
I felt safer.
And so they were going to make sure tourists were safe.
Right. Right.
And that is our bread and butter. And that's why that.
Yes.
And that's exactly. Especially starting in New Orleans.
Right. The Super Bowl was so special. So I don't.
So if somebody wants to find out more information on Kathy Seiden, what do they need to do?
They can go on KathySeiden.com. And it's S-E-I-D-E-N. And so, they can look up my website and email us with any questions. And also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me pretty easily.
And the two videos that you have posted on your website are fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, those are good watches for anybody that's interested in knowing who you are.
Thank you. We really wanted people to get to know me because I am, like I said, I'm taking a very different path than normal people. And so we wanted people to see who we really are.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming out. Glad you made it.
Thank you, guys. And
Have a great weekend. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 1017 FM, 710 Kiel.
Back with McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Corporal Chris Bordelon from the Shreveport Police Department joining us. Chris, good morning. First of all, thanks for jumping on with us. Give us an update if you can, and tell us what happened last night. Two dead in a shooting on Clyde Fan Parkway, another injured. What can you tell us?
Well, good morning, Mike. And first and foremost, I want to start by saying we're still in the very early stages of this investigation.
Sure.
Our homicide detectives have been out all night working this case, and I just spoke with them. They were actually leaving one of the autopsies. What we can say right now is this does appear to be a targeted attack. One of the individuals in the car was the intended target, and unfortunately the other two just happened to be in the car with that person. So it's a very heinous act. We are working diligently to try to identify the other vehicle that was involved. But right now we are working. This is a double homicide, and the third occupant of the vehicle did have serious injuries. However, we are hopeful that he is going to survive.
And has the survivor been able to give you any information at all?
Well, he was last the detectives talked to him. I believe he was in and out of consciousness. So they'll work. It is an ongoing investigation. There's multiple detectives that are working this case because of the span and trying to pull all of the information together. But they are very good at what they do, and we are hopeful that we will get some information that we'll be able to release to the public very soon.
Okay.
Where exactly on Clyde Fant was that? I mean, or can you narrow it down to kind of an area?
Well, the shooting occurred on Clyde Fant, and then the vehicle actually left the roadway. That is one of the things is putting together the crime scene in itself. Right now, we're calling it the 2600 block of Clyde Fant. However, the distance traveled once the shooting occurred is somewhat significant. So we'll have our drone team up in order to get any type of physical evidence from the scene, as well as, you know, we do have the real-time crime center cameras, and several of them are in that area.
Okay.
So gathering all the information that we have and putting it all together, it's something that doesn't happen quickly, but it is very effective when we use it and we implement all those tools. So those detectives, they haven't slept, and they are hot on the trail on this one. So we are asking if anyone does have any information to reach out to our investigations office.
Because this was...
They can do so by calling...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris.
And they can do so by calling 318-673-7300.
And this was a rolling shootout. They pulled up next to the car as they were driving down the parkway.
That is what the initial indication is.
And it was targeted at specific individuals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
absolutely.
All right,
and that's
Chris.
What we're working to gather where they were prior to the shooting, and hopefully we'll have some of that information here shortly.
Thank you so much for giving us the information, and we will we'll keep on top of it. We appreciate your help. You guys stay safe.
All right.
Chris Bordelon, Shreveport Police Department, Jeff Lucin for Aaron, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.